Oh, verse 11. Ready tonight? Okay. So we'll read together, everybody. 11 to 15. Want to go? Hey, I want KJV to lead. That NKJV. You don't know the meaning of that N that they added. You think it's new? Oh, yeah. Want to go? And he gave some apostles. Read now. Okay. And evangelists. Yeah, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the divine of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children. First and foremost, by carried away the weight of doctrine. By the slayer of men and corny craftiness, lead to the same. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up things which is there, even Christ. Hallelujah. And so I told you that there's the ongoing work of the Spirit in the believer. There's the ongoing work of the Spirit in the believer, in that he's still being perfected. At salvation, the believer is perfect. Hallelujah. Wanting nothing. Colossians 2:10 tells us we are perfect in him. No. I say I'm perfect in him. It makes me remember a particular brother. Anytime he says, you know, I'm perfect in him. So I've heard his gist. So I was just waiting for the trigger. It's one of those days he just was done. I think he lied to his coordinator, outreach coordinator. How can you lie to your... There are some things that is unneeded. The moment you start lying to your pastor, you can't be helped. In the natural, you don't lie to your doctor. You don't lie. What is he lie for? You don't lie to your lawyer. What's the lie for? You come to them plainly. Hallelujah. Huh? And then you don't like your pastor. You don't like those who are over you in the Lord. They want to help you. Hallelujah. And so he lied, and then we eventually found out that he lied. They corrected him. He didn't say anything. So as he was going out, and I said, "I'm perfect to me." I said, "Come back. You know I can slap you." This one, this one, you are not perfect in this one. That is the perfection Ephesians is talking about. For the work of ministry, as it were. Hallelujah. But for the work of ministry in context right now. You know, you don't, like the brother I told you, that will commit fornication. That's the righteousness of God in Christ. Nothing doing me. You know, something is doing you already. Hallelujah. The fact that you can't even recognize that something is doing you means that your case is beyond. So, believers are still being perfected, as it were. You know, if everybody was perfect, there would be no need for ministry gifts. And so ministry gifts are necessitated in the event that every believer still needs to mature. Hallelujah. So the maturity of the saints will be consequential, or will be the consequence of irresponsibility on the part of the ministry gifts. Am I speaking too much English? No. Alright, so, the immaturity of a saint, or of the saint, will be the consequence of the irresponsibility of the ministry gifts. And so, ministry gifts ought to teach, pastors and teachers. Again, you can look at it in this sense. He gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and they are all teachers. How about that? Eh? If we look at it in that sense, that word "and," what if we look at "and," and that "and" actually qualifies all of them, in that apostles, evangelists, prophets, pastors, and kai, that is teachers. All of them are teachers. How about that? Or we look at it in the sense that all of them teach. Okay. So basically, how you mature the saints is to teach. John 21 verse 15 to 17. Jesus said, "Feed my flock." It was Peter. In Acts 20:28, Paul told the elders in Ephesus, he said, "Feed the flock of God." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, the way Christians mature is by teaching.
proper teaching of God's word is what matures the saints, or what matures the Christian. That means I cannot mature in the face of music, I cannot mature in the face of drama, I cannot mature in the face of even speaking in tongues. My maturity is in the face of proper teaching of God's word. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said you are not tossed to and fro. Not having been properly taught. When you go to a church and then they are not teaching God's word, what they are just doing is everybody just entertaining one another. There's no difference between the church and the one concert. Every Sunday is a concerto. You dance, you sweat, you do everything, and then you go back home empty-headed. They ask you, what happened to Jesus on the cross? He said he died now. Who does not know he died? Even the people that persecuted him, the soldiers knew that he died. Hallelujah. And I said, then after 3 days he rose. Can you tell us the events in those 3 days? So I don't know, it was in the grave. But it's in the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in the word of God. In fact, those who never saw him at all knew what happened in the 3 days. Moses knew what happened in 3 days. Isaiah knew what happened in 3 days. And they never saw him. But they didn't even have the scriptures pre. Hallelujah. Yet they knew. How much more you have the 66 books and you still claim ignorance? No. That's modern ignorance. That's ignorance plus add on stupidity. Stupidity in the sense that you cannot appraise what you already have. Hallelujah. Am I harsh? No. It's just an add on. Alright, so basically, the Christian ought to be taught. To be taught God's word and to mature in the same. So that you are not tossed to and fro. Tossed to and fro implies that your convictions are not stable. Your convictions they are not stable. And of course, if your convictions are not stable, it means your growth can be doubted. Because stability oftentimes is the proof of growth. Stability means that you know what you're saying. Stability means that you can appraise the scripture properly. How can a believer get stable? You listen to God's word again and again. Now, I'm not a fan of many teachers, like I said last week. The moment you start having many teachers, what happens is that you keep being tossed to and fro. You keep being tossed to and fro. Now, I've had to correct people many times. It's either you just want to listen to me or you don't want to listen to me. Nobody's going to force you to listen to me anyways. Hallelujah. Nobody is going to. I'm not going to force you. I don't force people. A colleague of mine was telling me earlier today, he said, he has been listening, he just finished listening to Hope of Scotland. I think presently he is listening to The Church and Ministry Gift. I think I told you about it, yeah. So, he said, your members are lucky. I said, why? Like, I pretend not to know what he's talking about, because I know you're lucky. Hallelujah. So he said, your members are lucky. He said, they sit to listen to all of this every Sunday and Thursday. Now, you would have wondered, now, his conditions are quite different. Why he cannot come here? I said, yes, they listen. He said, that's like the best gift in the world. He said, it's going to walk towards coming here. And all. But that just puts you in the light. That where some people are finding some people lucky, the people themselves find themselves wanting. Like my pastor rightly said, he went for a meeting, I think in 1997, 98, I can't remember the story well, I think 98. Then they had the Holy Ghost meeting and all, and the people in this church who organized it together with him said they were not blessed. And someone who came up from another state said that that's the best meeting he has ever attended in his life. You see that? It shows that some people don't value what they are. And it's normal. Normal in the flesh. Hallelujah. People just tend to get tired of value sometimes. Because you've already seen it over and over again. That's why you see that some people appreciate your pastor more than you. It ought not to be so. That's the way some people appreciate your parents more than you. Those are the times that you just get to that stage. Someone keeps telling you that your mom is the best too. I see. You know, but having you just spent 2 days in your house and your mom was being your mom, really. Just normal. You know, the way the food they give you, even though they still get to correct you. Alright, even though they still get to correct you and all, and you know, shout at you and all. And someone said, you know, your mom helped me. You just look at the person and say, Mumsy.
Mumsy, best mom in the world.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, they are saying, he doesn't know her. He doesn't know her. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, he said what he said because probably something happened to him. Probably he doesn't get fed that way, where he's coming from. Or probably doesn't get that kind of scolding, and that he has realized that that has affected his life. But one way or the other, you think you are the unlucky one. And it's normal for people who are walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. You always think the grass is greener on the other side till you get there. You always think the greener, I have to correct someone.
I think earlier this week, I know her very well. I pastored her before, and so I heard her listening to a message. And I said, who is that?
Now, if you know me too well, Shola will know that in that case, I will not talk. In that instance, I won't talk, you know, at all, you know, right? There are many things people say. See, if you want to live long, you pick your arguments. If you want to live long, and you pick your commentaries. There are many things people say, I just continue what I'm doing. But you can't keep looking at every backing dog. I'm not saying people are backing dogs, so it's an idiom. Mm-hmm. Alright, so normally I would have looked at it, but I had an impression in my spirit just to correct her. Probably she didn't know. I said, what's that? I heard something. He said, it's a message. I said, okay. So I left. I thought probably it's WhatsApp status. Understand? So I left. I went to do something. I said, I went to make a call or something. And I came back and she was still there. I said, what's the name of that person? Because I know our pastor very well. Very well. And I said, who is that you're listening to? Is that so I mentioned another pastor? Who I think his message could have been recorded, which I know cannot be recorded because they are just one pastor. I know the message cannot be recorded of the other pastor. So I said, this is a male voice. Your pastor is female. Who is this? He said, so. I said, what happened to you? Of course, she still had the regard because I pastored her before. So there was the regard as it were. I said, what happened to you? Then I started to correct her and then tell her what to do and all that. Apparently she didn't know much. But what will happen to that kind of believer in that instance is stable like ye. Don't worry yourself. You can never be stable. That such person will have conflict of opinions. Not that the one that God wants them to have, the one that are self-inflicted. And so today, your pastor says so. And what happens is that the moment you start coming to church, all you have listened to outside will start replaying your head. And so your pastor says, believers ought to be stable. And you say, I'm unstable. That pastor says, I'm unstable. He said, in the spirit, we jostle. In the spirit, we bubble. You can't be stable. A stable man is the dumbest man. And so, can you see conflict of ideas? And I say, I'm not stable. I'm not stable. So I say, everybody say, I'm stable. Say, I'm not stable. I bubble in the spirit. I go from one level to another. I can't be stable. See the other that puts it big round. I go from one level to the other. I can't be stable. See the conflict. And so, and I'm just saying the one that can come to my head because I don't get to listen to two people. So I don't know how it feels. But the stability in doctrine must also be stability in the source of the doctrine. Paul will tell Timothy, you have known me. 2 Timothy 3:10. Again, if you look at the way the apostolic doctrine is taught, you will discover that there's always a singleness of, there's always a single-facedness, as it were, in the way the gospel taught. From Acts 2:42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Do you see that? That means there were other doctrines. There were other doctrines all around Israel. But Acts 2:42, those who are just saved, they continue steadfastly. Prosateril. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' teaching. Again, that's where they can find the growth. Steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Paul will tell Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:10, the one I quoted earlier, you have known me. You have known my way of life. You have known my doctrine. My doctrine. You have known my doctrine. Timothy did not have two teachers. So if you depart Timothy, you have just one teacher. Just one teacher. Sometimes it looks like you are cooking soup. Many people say that's flavor. That if I hear of doctrine from this place, I will hear of faith from here. I will hear of things of the spirit from here. I will hear of vision from here. I will hear of... By the time you are done, you'll be Satan yourself. Or Satan should have the privilege of employing you as his personal assistant. Because you'll be so confused. Hallelujah. You will be so confused. And then you now start having questions. Questions no man ever showed you. Some of you got that. You start having questions, self-reflected questions. Questions that normally will not come to anybody, any reasonable person's head. Okay. Understand dialect of the prophet. What about the dialect of the evangelist? You're going to go for far, right? Alright, so stability, with stability in the doctrine, and also stability in what?
In the source of the doctrine.
Are you blessed? Tell me Romans 12.
That was what we were last week.
So we'll keep opening this teaching the same way. That was the way we did last week, right? Tell me Romans 12, verse 7. So read from verse 7 to verse 10 together. Everyone in your loudest voice. 7 Corinthians, so we are looking at what again? Paul's turn in the flesh and what? Mine. Why are you looking at me and saying, and yours? Paul's turn in the flesh and mine. Alright. But in the title to be and yours. I send it back. Alright. Can we verse 7 to verse 10? Everybody want to go?
It's all the movement to the abundance that was given to him. So be faithful. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord Christ, that by the power of men. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I pray Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I will take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Alright, again, we have been able to see what proper Bible interpretation will do. Right? What proper Bible interpretation does is that it makes the believer sound enough to see the will of God in the scriptures. So, the moment you can explain the scripture properly, you are sound enough to see the will of God. Alright, so we establish Paul's thorn in the flesh. Is it sickness? Come on. How many of you were here last week? Thursday. Let me see your hands. Eye up. Last week was alright. So we established, Paul's thorn in the flesh. So that it was not sickness. True, in verse 9, look at verse 9 very well, he used the word weakness, which you are still going to explain today. And then use the word infirmities. So I'm glorying in infirmities. In my infirmities. You know, use the word weakness and infirmities. But really, it's a low hanging fruit to now say, because you use the word weakness and infirmity, it will be referring to sickness. Now, Bible study is Bible study. Bible study means you're going to open the Bible a lot. Bible study means I'm going to be saying some things that will bore you, right? Bore means you not be interested, it looks boring. But it's the Bible study. Sometimes you don't get to appreciate teachings. How many of you have happened to you before? That a message that was pre-2017 was now just making sense 2020. Let me see. Sometimes it happens that way. You know, so the fact that you can't get it now doesn't mean you don't need it. It means probably you are not ripe. So by the time you get ripe, you just say, so pastor has taught this. Now, wow, you can even be a cell leader. Well, it's just the journey of faith. Hallelujah. The fact that he used weakness and infirmities does not mean that he's talking about sickness. Again, earlier today I was in my class. I'm taking a class, a language class. I'm learning Hausa. And my teacher was telling me that there are some vocabularies. Who understands Hausa yet? At least, next time.
So he said there are some vocabularies that, or some dictions in the Hausa language that they mean just like Yoruba too. No, it's almost sound almost the same thing. But they would mean what they mean in the context of where you use them. Right? You were talking about greetings, for example, and he said, if someone says you in Akwana, now that's how are you? No, not just when you just say Lafia. That is, Lafia means peace. But in that context, Lafia is, I'm fine. Right? I'm fine. Now, rather than Nakwana, something that we can use something else. Maybe Inagijia or something, right? Inagijia means, now, it literally would mean, how tired are you? Because Gaji is tired somehow. Gaji is tiredness. So it says, Inagijia, how tired are you? But if I'm giving you the man, I say Inagijia, I'm not asking you that, how tired are you? I'm asking you, how are you? You get what I'm saying? So, language always have such specificity, as it were, that you only understand a word in the light of when it is used and how it is used. So if I say, in Agajia, that is, how tired are you? I'm actually asking you, how are you? But to a sick person, let's just, no, not my point to you. So someone who is sick on the bed, if I say, in Akwana, how are you? And he tells me, Lafia, fine. Right? And I say, in Agajia, it means something else to me. Because I'm not saying, how tired are you? What I met on the street, and I tell you, in Agajia, he said, Lafia, gone. But someone who's on the sick bed, I say, in Akejia. He's now saying in the light of, how weak are you? Is everything getting better? Then he cannot, if it's better, he can tell me back Akejia. That is, no tiredness, no weakness. Does that make sense? Good. So, you must understand what. So, just like English too has it. I told you last week of the teacup. Right? This is your cup of tea. This is your cup of tea. The same string of words, yet mean different things. Hallelujah. And so, the fact that you now use infirmities, which we were able to also look at in context last week, that for example, here you use infirmities, and we were able to see what infirmities mean. But look at Romans 8:26, where it said, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Romans 8:26, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, because we do not know how we ought to pray, the way we do, right? Right? But makes intercessions for us, right? With groanings that cannot be uttered. So, in that case, is the infirmity sickness? The Spirit helps our sickness. No, now. Because in Romans 8, it helps you understand that the entire creation has that infirmity. So, are you telling me that the entire creation is sick? No. So, you must trace the infirmity in Romans 8. And we're able to see that is what? The frailty of the human body. That makes sense. That is the fact that this body is subjected to sickness, is subjected to limitations in time, place, right? It's subjected to limitations, it's frail. So the inadequacies of the body refers to it as infirmity, not because everybody is sick. And so you must look at the words properly. That makes sense? Eh? Good. So, infirmity, so we saw Paul's use of infirmities, how that it wasn't universal. So let's look properly. Verse 9. Let's do verse 9 again. Let's do something. Verse 9. Let's do verse 9 if you want to go. He said unto me, for my strength. Wait. So, what is the weakness? I'll give you a minute. So, read from verse 7 to verse 9 again. And then tell me, what is the weakness? The weakness is the thorn in the flesh. Who has that grace with him? Alright, good. So, can you now see how easy it is when you put your brain to it? You are not, my son is made by the weakness, sickness. Because you both have ness. But wasn't fruitfulness. Alright, so, again, my strength is made perfect in this thorn in the flesh. Look at that. How God's strength is made perfect. In the thorn in the flesh. That is more about growing, therefore, in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So when he said my strength is made perfect, whose strength, really? Paul's strength or God's strength? I'm back in my questions. Paul's strength or God's strength? Paul's strength, let me share it. Paul. Okay. Add my brother. God's strength, let me share it. Defense strength. Actually, it's Paul's strength. And so you look at it in the light of personal pronoun. What God said is, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul is now explaining what that would mean. That is my strength. Of course, eventually, it will be implication of God's strength in him. Right? Right? But Paul, God is not the one with the thorn in the flesh. And so, you must, this is just normal English. And so, you look at it in the light of who is experiencing the weakness. The one who is experiencing the weakness is the one who manifests the strength. So, he's explaining, God's strength shows in weakness. In weekness, God will wait for a moment of weakness to show his strength. You are the one who will show the strength. I will see that very soon. Alright, so, by saying my strength, personal pronouns, it's not reporting third party now. My grace is sufficient for you, third party. Right? Right? Reported speech. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm explaining what that would mean. You see the semicolon in front of that. I'm explaining what that would mean to audience, and I say, because my strength. So God's grace is sufficient for me is seen in how that my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'll explain that. Don't worry. We'll land somewhere. This is basic. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength. Not God's strength. God is not the one who is weak. God is the one with the grace. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Hallelujah. Okay. So, verse 10 explains properly the infirmities. We will still go back to verse 9. Verse 10 explains the infirmities, right? We saw that last week. What will now be the infirmities? Read it from verse 10. Want to go? No, what would be the infirmities? That's what I said. Reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distress. So, which are all peculiar to man. So, in fact, mentioned it earlier in chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 23. Let's all read from verse 23 to verse 29. So, you see Paul's thorn in the flesh in plain light. Verse 23 to verse 29. Want to go? I tell everybody. 7 and 11. Let's wait for everybody. People are lost already. Lost books. Someone asked me about lost books today. I said, you want to get lost. If something is lost, you have to be lost too to get it. Alright? Want to go? In death often. That's 39. Wow. Imperils of robbers. Imperils of my own countrymen. Imperils of the Gentiles. Imperils of the city. Imperils of the wilderness. Imperils in the sea. Imperils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness. In watches of them. In hunger and thirst. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that we have, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches, who is weak and I am not weak, who is offended and I burn. Hallelujah. See a man's CV. Apparently some people are complaining. You think you are ministers of Christ? Hey! Have you been beaten 39 times? Have you been stoned before? When last did you suffer a shipwreck? Because me, I've done it 30 times. You see, I'm in peril. I'm in danger on the Gentiles. Not just the Gentiles. My own people too. I'm in danger. I don't have anybody in this world. The Gentiles want me killed. The Jews want me killed. Those are the two nations. I'm in danger of the sea. I'm also in danger of the land. Where do you want me to stay? The earth doesn't want me to stay. You know, he's now putting down his own CV of following Christ. And he says, see, apart from this, I now have the ones that come upon me daily. The care of the church. He now said, you are born. You think I'm not? Hallelujah. I mentioned all of that as his thorn in the flesh. Or as what he will glory him. His infirmity. So, again, Paul's thorn in the flesh is not sickness. It's not that he was, like many people have suggested, that the asthma experience affected his eyes, his vision. Maybe the oculomotor nerve, or the nuisance, or optic nerve. No. You know, nothing happened to Paul's eyes. As far as the Bible is concerned, his infirmities are the sufferings and the reproaches he had in the name of Christ. So we looked at the Old Testament, right? To see the word thorn in the flesh is used, right? Numbers 33:55, Joshua 23:13, and Judges 2:3. I'll come again. Numbers 33:55, Joshua 23:13, and Judges chapter 2 verse 3. So again, Paul asked the Lord to remove the persecution from him 3 times, right? 2 Corinthians 12. That's verse 8. I besought the Lord thrice that he might depart from me. And we said, can the believer also ask, pray that persecution go? Eh? We looked at last week now. Romans 15:30-31. Paul said, pray for me. I mean, deliver from those that do not believe in Judea. And my service for Jerusalem is the of all the saints. You already know. I think you should, that prayer should be in your head every day. You have prayed so much. We saw 2 Thessalonians 3, right? And we depart from those who do not believe, from all have not faith. Alright. So, the believer can pray. Because, you have to pray for it because you have it. See how we have it. It's not even if you don't say it, you get. Even if you don't say it, you will have it. Oh, see, Pastor, don't curse now. Remember Sunday, information. I'm going to give you an information of what will happen. There's nobody who follows Christ and will not be persecuted. Second Timothy. Let's get it. Put one hand in 2 Corinthians. I think Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. If I still remember well, hopefully I'm right. Verse 12. Yeah. Let's read together. 2 Timothy 3:12. Want to go?
Yeah.
Yes. All that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Shall what? Shall what? Say it. They will suffer persecution. So can you see that it's not? It's not a management of it. If it's just a modern day Christian, it's this one. I don't suffer persecution. Persecution doesn't come to me. What is that? If you are going to live godly in this present world, in Christ, for Christ, you will suffer persecution. Back to 2 Corinthians 12. So because everyone will suffer, Paul will now say, I will rather glory, verse 9, right? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. The word glory is an old English word. I will rather glory in my infirmities. The glory means to have dominion over or to command something. So it can be either way. To have dominion over something or to command it. So it says, I will rather glory in my infirmities. You will see it used in Exodus 8:9 when Moses told Pharaoh, you don't need to open that. He told Pharaoh to, he said, glory over me. Of course, if you have seen that now, you know, some people would have misinterpreted that. Say, why would Moses tell Pharaoh to glory over him? But what he was saying is, command me. That was the plague of the frogs. So Pharaoh was begging Moses to stop it. And Moses said, glory over me so that I can stop it. That is, command me to stop it now. And you know what to do. It's like Monopoly. Let's do deal. You let my people go and I stop the frog. Then, some of you are like Pharaoh when you are playing Monopoly too. You collect the deal and say you are not doing it again. Those who understand what I'm saying. Bro, They collect, always like Pharaoh. You collect what you want and then you say, I'm not doing it again. So Pharaoh was like that. He said, you stop there, okay, I will let your people go. And Moses stopped the frog, and then Pharaoh said, go carry on. You know, so command me, that is to glory over. So when you say, I would rather glory in my infirmities, it doesn't mean that I will be boasting that someone stoned me yesterday. He's saying, I would have dominion over it. That is, how will you have dominion over it? You will not let it prevail. I will not let the fact that these things are happening to me stop what God is doing. That is the glory. Not that you now start making a Facebook post. Yesterday I was stoned. When last were you stoned for the gospel? That's not the glory in my infirmities. I see why I had to go there. Glory in my infirmities means I would have victory over them. How would I have victory over them? I would not allow those things to stop what God is doing on the earth through me. Right. So, first look at Acts 14:19. Now, don't go there. We have many things to go through. So, in Acts 14:19, what happened was that Paul was stoned and left for dead. You know? They stoned him so much that he was sure that he was dead. What an oxymoron. The same Paul that, when he was stoning Stephen, he was the caretaker of everybody's bag. Come and drop your clothes, I will wash it. Stone him. Drop your bag. Your shirt. What's the color? Okay, that Chelsea shirt. Drop it. Stone him. That's Acts 7. That's like when some people say, miracles happen in every chapter of Acts. That everybody, there was a miracle every time. I just laugh. So, sometimes in the book of Acts, sometimes between verse 30 and verse 31, it's like 2 years. Sometimes. But because you are just a vague and a fake reader, just say, miracles are happening. Every chapter, miracle. No. Because between that Stephen and Paul, things don't share level. So, Paul, the same Paul who was there for Stephen's stoning, is now being stoned. But guess what? He gloried in it. How did he do that? In Acts 14:19, when he was left for dead, guess what happened? God revived him, and the next day, Paul walked at least 20 miles, historically, into the next town, and guess what he was doing again? Preaching. Imagine they stoned you yesterday for preaching, and you are almost dead. What will be the next place you go to? That's it. I've tried my best in this gospel thing. I'm going home. Tell the world. I have gone home. I am at home. You know, that's it. At least. So imagine you are stoned in outreach. Literally, stoned. And then you came late to give report. And so I said, is this the time we say we should gather? Ha. You know, it's like something just added to your certificate. Sa. Ha. I don't mean to be rude. We don't do respect. When we say that one, we're very disrespect anyway. In fact, you should be saying without disrespect. Without disrespect, man. I was taught. I was actually at home. You know, I think that modern day, which you should not be. I love that old time religion. You know, he was stoned and then the next thing he still thought of was to do the same thing. That's how to glory in your infirmities. That's exactly how to glory in infirmities. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't hear that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, imagine those who stoned him, what they would have thought. We stoned this guy yesterday. In fact, you can still see the bruises and the cuts. And so, they see his humanity in the bruises. But guess what? They see God's strength flowing through him. They see God's strength flowing. So, that makes sense to say, when I am weak, then am I strong.
That is, when these reproaches come, when these persecutions come, that is when I can show God's strength in me. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The umbrella is not for the cool weather. It's for the rain. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't need strength when you're strong. You don't need. You need strength when you are weak. So when he says, when I am weak, I am strong, it's not confession. Is it making sense now? So, can you see what Papa religion will do? It's not going to say, when I am weak, I am strong. And that's the same reason why people, when they are sick, they say, I am strong. So only people fuck up. In the last April, he has put everything together. When I am weak, I am strong. He's talking about persecutions for the sake of Christ. That is, when this persecution eats hard. Remember how I said last week? Buffet. To strike me hard again and again. A menu of Satan to buffet me, right? Remember now? And I gave a notion of the seashore. The way the waves strike the shore.
Good.
Very repeatedly. When these things happen to me, that is when I am strong. Would that mean that is when I will glory in my infirmities? Eh? Yes. That's when I will show God's strength and I will go on and on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You learn something? So, when I'm weak, then I'm high strong. So, strength is for weakness. The believer today must also know this. That you have been called to a life of persecutions. You have been called. Remember what we read earlier, 2 Timothy 3:12. Abi? Those who will live godly in Christ, we what? Eh? Will suffer persecutions. You are not redeemed from it. You are redeemed to it. We are the redeemed church of God. To persecutions. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, in John 16:33, Jesus said, let's look at it, John 16:33. Want to go, everybody? These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. In the world you have what? Tribulations. Very strong word. That's not a compound word for all those things that Paul said. You will have tribulations. So part of the things you inherited in Christ is persecution. You inherited the Spirit, right? You inherited the gift of the Spirit. You inherited life eternal. But guess what? You also inherited tribulations. You inherited a life of persecution. So it's quite definite that the believer will have times when everything is not working. See, let me say this very well. The devil has only one purpose. To go against the gospel. The devil is not interested whether you are rich or poor. He will only have to tackle a man with poverty if he feels that the man will draw away from God when he doesn't have money. You get what I just said? In fact, if you feel that when you have money, you will not believe the gospel, he will give you the money. It's okay. That is, the devil will make a man rich. Purposefully. So they can never make a man rich. Stay there. Only yesterday I was answering the issue of rituals, money rituals. Okay. Devil will make purpose. Don't say, now, Pastor, let them come and do this for me now. Abi, how far now, Pastor? No devil do him now. Me, I will have God do. What was that before the DJ interrupted? Alright, so, the devil has no interest, whether he manages rich or poor. His main focus is the gospel. How the gospel is not going to thrive in the land. How people are not going to believe God's word. So it's funny when I see believers ranting. It's laughable, really. When I see someone complaining
that maybe someone somewhere is against their ministry. My father is not allowing me to serve. So I don't know why this has to happen. What were you expecting? A jolly ride, a smooth sail. You're expecting something wrong, right? The devil will always go against the gospel. So if you are for the gospel, you should expect him to come. And he's going to eat at. Hallelujah. It's your turn in the flesh. Praise God. He's going to come for you. No man who preaches the gospel can say he has never been reproached. I recall a time in school when something got to me that some people were actually expecting me to fail. I'm talking about university now. I think I was part 4 or 5. I think four. You know? I think four. I would attend every teaching meeting, seminar. I think at the time we had an in-course, and I was in Ibadan or something. CBFC. I went for CBFC. I can't remember. Yes. And I read my diary, because we were having this in-course on a Monday. I was in Ibadan on Sunday. And so I had to travel back to Lagos to come and write the test, which I did not read for. So I wrote it in my diary that I'm going to write this test. Not just this for this test, I'm going to have an A in this course. Of course, I worked towards that, not confession. But the fact that I didn't read, I had 24 over 30. Yeah, that's probably the only course that stuck. I had a 24 over 30 for a course I did not read for. But of course, I was listening in class, so. So he said, yeah, that means I can do it too. Oh, you can't do it too. And probably I have a special way of reading that I myself have not discovered. I don't read much. But I read well when I want to read. But sometimes I'm in the library and I'm looking at people reading and I say, is this the same course? If your friend is reading for you, or is that reading, you will go to the library 7 o'clock in the morning. And you'll be leaving 7 p.m. And they are still going to the outside to read. I used to get around 11, Abby. And by 2, I'm already saying, course it's the tongue. what's in this? Abby, is it not? So sometimes I always look at Abby, they are hiding materials from me. That I don't, they will give me all the materials. I'll pick it and I finish this one. And when I'm, you know, it's not that I say, Mukan, go by. So when you see people still sweating, they will go and carry on that big textbook. Say, the Torakotomy of the, me Marine. I have a way of making things simpler for myself. So rather than read soft copy, I don't like reading soft copy, just because I don't like reading soft copy of the Bible. When they give soft copy in class, I'll go and print it out. So, I have a way of marking where I want to read. Say, from year to year. This one does not look like it to come out. From year to year. So, when I finish reading my year to year, and I saw that people are still there, I'll not go to the ones I knew. I'll be the one. And point that, what happens is that once I get to those cell and people start answering questions, I don't know it. Well, so it goes like, this is failure. Knocking at my door. You know how God told Cain? He's knocking at your door. I said, kill him, Shelley. But the point is that those who are answering questions, those things, by the time the result will come out, Pastor. Apparently, I just know how to explain very well what I know. That one I don't know. I will leave it. But you see that one I know. You will know I know it. I will flush it. I will. Hallelujah. You know, it got to me. Some folks were explaining I was going to fail. I was working on the island, remember? I was working on the island as a student. I was attending teaching meetings, doing Bible. I was pastoring. So, a lot of things. And so, for every result, I expected I was going to fail. It's a reproach. In fact, don't worry. Alright, so again, you can't serve God and expect to live without shame. People are going to shame you for one or two things. people are going to go against you actively. People are going to laugh at you. How many people have laughed at you before? Let me see. Let's see. You can go to church. Well, that cannot happen to me, really. I've been called pastor from my GS1. GS1, so they've been calling me pastor. You know. In fact, in my secondary school, I was not a prefect because they wanted to make me chapel prefect. They said they wanted to make me chapel prefect. I said, I'm not chapel prefect. They said, what do you want? I said, boy. Truthfully, I'm not one of the top 20 brilliant students. You know? How can the head boy not be one of the top 20 brilliant students? And I said, I want to be head boy. He is that I used to come late. He said, but you can't be head boy. You know the likely candidate. But every teacher said you are fit for the chapel prefect. I said, I don't want to be chapel prefect. That one is normal to me. You know? So from Jason, I've been called pastor, really. In fact, Jason, I fasted till I fainted. Because I didn't break for 4 days. I didn't eat food, I didn't drink water for 4 days. That's what happens. You faint. I just started hearing my voice from afar. Wake up! Wake up! I was lying myself in the mosque. Wake up! But of course, everything I didn't eat in the 4 days, I ate in the clinic. I said, I'm not well. They said, you are already okay to be discharged. I said, I'm not okay. You guys are giving me growth demon. My good has been in the hospital. They are giving me growth demon. Yeah, exactly. I should be okay. I can never be okay. And so, I become pastor. So, I might not get to probably get that reproach of, you are going to church now. But some of you will. Some people would, if you look at you and say, you are preaching to me. Are we not the same? Sometimes you don't even have enough evidence to say, you are not the same. Hallelujah. You know you are not the same. Or you don't have it. You don't know what to say to tell him that you are not the same. Hallelujah. And so, you can't be a minister of the gospel and expect that something will not go in your ministry. I mean, everything will just be smooth. Sometimes it can be parents. Your own father and mother. Say, I don't want to see you there. If you go to that church, count me out of your life. I remember they told me, one of my friends, I told this story before. The mother told her, if I see you in that church, if I see you in any, because she's always going to preach, so, now, there's a side to it. Not that you now neglect everything you are doing at home. Oh, for what? Oh, for me, oh, anything. You are saying, oh, you want to go and preach. Jesus owns your life. Jesus owns your life. Who will give you food? Jesus. You know, but she was doing everything. They were just against a ministry. And she told, now they don't do this at all. So she told the mom, she said, I swear on my father's grave, I will not go to church again. She said, but the opposite of what I would do. He said, I will be a prostitute. Mother was shocked. She said, I'll be a prostitute. And I will have an unwanted pregnancy. And I will abort it and I will die. It looks like word of knowledge, the woman. She said, do whatever you want. In the midnight, she's knocking. Did you mean what is it? Did you mean everything you said? Say, go to church. But this church now know how to do it. Say, hey, when you are talking, don't do it too. If you shock, I know your mother will say, hey, prostitutes, bam, bam, bam. Hallelujah. Sometimes it can be friends, just go against your ministry. Sometimes it's your siblings, but no, you know what, there will always be an opposition. There will always be. Alright, so again, be prepared. It's a life of much consecration ahead, inspired and despite. Be prepared for times when people will throw you out. People have put pepper on me before at outreach. I've been chased with the cutlass before. It's really dear, You can't forget. Cutlass. Am I still preaching? Yes. Will I still preach? Yes. My life, I was made for this. Hallelujah. I was made for this. Alright, so be prepared
It's your turn in the flesh. Times when people will reject you. They will reject you. So we are ministers of the gospel every day. We are ministers of the gospel every day. Look at 2 Timothy 4. Very simple. So you're a Christian, but there are times when people just the things just appear not fine. You don't have money. You don't have money. That's what Paul was saying. In much necessities, right? You don't have money. And then somebody is telling you, they say we are even donating money, probably for church auditorium. You have said, okay, makes sense. Okay, I donating money for pastor's birthday. Me, I don't get ready. They don't even know my baby. There's no kidding of hell like.
Yeah.
In much necessities. Hallelujah. That is when you're hungry. And then the Spirit of God says, give to that your disciple now. Speak of God. I thought you know what it is. You know what it is now. See the depth. See the depth of this hollow. It's deep. Spirit of God, omniscient. You're going to go again now. You can have a little balance. And say, just give that disciple. We are ministers of the gospel every day. Because he's also the Lord of everything. Hallelujah. Praise God. In much necessities. In much reproach. In distress. Tell them you are sick. And they say, let's go for outreach. He said, This time I said, you guys don't know what's happening. I said, I've been vomiting since morning. I said, I can't even breathe well. I don't know if it's corona. Or Camry. And he said, I can't preach. In distress. Because you are not comfortable. You put the strength of God to use. In much distress. You put the strength of God. You have to grow in infirmities. You've got to grow in infirmities. You've got to show that whenever you are weak, you are actually strong. Hallelujah. That makes sense? When you are weak, you are actually strong. Psalm 24. In verse 2, can we read together? Want to go? Praise the Lord. The inside is season. Out of season. We breathe, exhort with all long suffering and what? Doctrine. He says, is season and out of season. It means there are times that are out of season. In times when you are approved of men and times when you are not. In times when people are speaking highly of you and times when you are rejected. In times when people are in their thousands in your church and times when people say, forget that church. In times when people just praise you and say good things about you and times when people say, that pastor, be prepared. In season and out of season. Why? Just like we have in natural, season change. In the ministry of the gospel, season change. So you must not be a man who is affected by the weather. You must be made for weather. Hallelujah. You must be made for weather. You need to stand the storm and also stand the scorch of the sun. In season and out of season, you must be ready. You must be prepared to be a minister of the gospel true and true. Times when you are ready and strong and you feel like you are the healthiest person in the world. Also the times when your head is aching. When everything is not even going fine. Probably you haven't even finished probably IV. And you just probably passed something on your body. And then, this is in a season. Hallelujah. And the next thing, he was walking miles to go and preach the gospel. You're going to stand with that same man and give account of your life. Hallelujah. 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 So people's labor should inspire us. We are ministers of the gospel true and true. Hallelujah. In season and out of season. Seasons come and seasons go. But guess what? Those who abuse or the man in Christ who is built to last is going to pass all seasons. It's your turn in the flesh. It will come. It will be Satan. It's a messenger of Satan.
He's going to go against your ministry. Sometimes your disciples are responding, and you feel like, wow! That's the way you're working. Remember, it's a messenger of Satan who's striking your teeth. You must go away and come with this. Is that clear? You must have dominion over it. You must have dominion over it. You must stay afloat. You must be filled with the power of God to do God's will every day. You must be strong. Times when you are boxed up, I mean, you have cash. Have you ever had cash and you wonder what? Anything I want to do with money. I got the time I got my first 100,000 naira. Quite early in life. I got it from teaching keyboard. I'm doing keyboard things. Right? Because I got it from teaching keyboard. So, I didn't have to drive to the house. I was eating free food. We were in a free house. We're like, now, we have to pay everything in Lagos. You know, I was living everything free. And what do I want to do with money in this life? You start feeling like Dangote. You know? And then there are times when you give the work of the tongue. I remember when I was down in 211. I didn't have cash at all. Not to you. I can't balance with like 12 naira. If I can't balance 12 naira, all will not be in your pocket. Not to me. And I was not expecting it from anyone. That's it. I was too busy. Of course. I just said I'll fast. Okay, what else do I do? I'll fast. It's time to raise more disciples then. So I went to mission by preaching the gospel. In season, out of season. It's in those weak times, seeming weak times, when the message of Satan is at, you must slay the strength of God. That when the last word time is, and you must be strong. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! There will be very times. There will be very times. Times when you feel like everyone is going fine, and times when they are not, actually. You must be prepared. It's your turn in the flesh. I'll close with 7 Corinthians 6. I want you to read this like a minister of the gospel that you are. 7 Corinthians 6. I recall reading this passage many years ago, and it hit me hard. It hit me hard. It's one of my favorite passages of scriptures. It hits me out. 7 and 6 as well. We then as workers together with him, the species that we receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it in vain. So what really means to receive the grace of God in vain? Eh? You must be in your families. Right? We said my grace is sufficient for you. Right? For where? For my strength is what? Make perfect in weakness. So when you don't make yourself perfect in weakness, then you have received the grace of God in vain. Right? Alright, so I'm just bringing the same thing as in the same book. Alright? Alright, verse 2. 7:6. For he said, I have every little time accepted. And in your salvation I have succored. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Now we need verse 3. To pass together. That the ministry will help us. In all things, approving ourselves as the minister. In hospitals, in afflictions, in necessities, in riches, in stripes, in imprisonment, in trials, in labors, in watchings, and in pastors, by promise, by knowledge, by the Holy Ghost, by love of God, by the truth, by the power of God, by the hammer of righteousness on the right hand and the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dead, as shifting and not true, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing. Hallelujah. It's a life of persecution. We make ourselves a proof of God. We showed in much doctrine, by promise, by the word of truth, by the hammer of righteousness. We do all of this in much fasting, in much tumult, in much labor. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said. As poor, yet making many rich. Unknown, yet knowing. The Lord is my life. Hallelujah. Is the life of the minister of the gospel. The time of the flesh will come. People are just expecting the worst of the situation to come. But guess what? We go on. We forge ahead by the power of the Holy Ghost. We ahead. See what Jesus saw in the world that made him die for sin. We look ahead and we see men, sheep without shepherd. We see hungry hearts, yielding hearts, who are hungry that God is for the bread of life and for the true bread. Hallelujah. And we go into the world. We have this world. Hallelujah. We are born from the land of the world. The days we believe in the name that is above every name. I'm quoting the 1989 prophecy that we have in. The days we will go for into the dark places of the world. We are going to take the name of Jesus to those places. And we are going to shine the light. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm a soldier of Christ, true and true. I don't give up. In much labor, in much tumult, I stay. True and true. I'm not weak. In good times, in bad times, in health, in sickness, we stay strong. But the power of God is strong.